but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Jeff Ferrato is terrific on the Cal beat. He is the go-to. He's been on this show numerous times in the last few weeks. We're bringing him back on to talk a little bit about this Cal-Oregon State football game. We are within, days now of this Saturday night game. It'll be on ESPN, this game in Corvallis, and should be a whole bunch of fun to see the football season kick off. He is the co-publisher of Cal Bears on Sports Illustrated, Jeff Ferrato, joining us now. All right, it's game week. Are you locked in yet?
Oh, we're locked in. Yeah, as locked in as you can be covering a team that we haven't seen practice or play at all yet, or even scrimmage anything. So I'll tell you this, and I might have mentioned this when I talked to you last, John, but I know less really about this Cal team than any team I've covered. They've got massive personnel changes. Almost their entire offensive coaching staff is new. We have not been allowed to watch anything meaningful in practice throughout the entire fall camp, which is a 180 from the past. And we have, of course, not seen either their scrimmages. So, they are very confident. They feel like they've made a lot of headway. But there's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of newness to this team, including a freshman quarterback. So we don't really know much until Saturday night.
Help us with this, because you've been on this beat for a long time, and you've seen a number of head coaches do it different ways, Jeff. Is this Justin Wilcox? Is this sign of the times? Is this the influence of Ron Rivera? What is going on with access?
I think a little bit of all of it. They've also got Brian Harsin as their offensive coordinator, and he's a former head coach at a couple places where he was probably used to calling the shots, small one-horse towns, of Boise State. That's what they got there. They got Boise State football. Same with Auburn when he was there, as opposed to this market, which is primarily a pro sports market. And so in the past, they've given us a lot of access just because they want people to write about them and to come out and see them and talk about them. I think at this point, they feel like this is a big season for them. And I don't want to say make or break for Wilcox, but to a degree it is. The university chancellor said a 500 season isn't good enough. Ron Rivera, the new GM, was quoted a week or so ago saying he thinks 8 or 9 wins would be a successful season. Well, they haven't won 8 games in a season since 2019. They need to do better. Everybody knows that, including and first and foremost, Wilcox knows that. But I think they're circling the wagons a little bit, just trying whatever they can do to give themselves an edge. And I'm sure there's some voices in Wilcox's ear saying, you let the reporters in and all of a sudden people are going to know more about us than we want them to know. We're better off with nobody knowing much about us until we have to play our first game. I don't know. It's a pain in the butt to cover a team that way, but that's what we've got. And we'll know a lot more after one game. And then there won't be many secrets left at that point. We'll find out if the offensive line can block better than last year, if Saka Politelli is as good as they hope he is. And I don't think he's going to be perfect. He's a freshman. He's going to make some mistakes, but they really love him. And they got a whole new secondary. They got all kinds of change, all new receivers, all new running back. It's a massive wholesale changes. They've got 11 guys starting on offense and defense who weren't in the program a year ago. And that doesn't even count all the special teams, the place kicker, the punter, et cetera. So there is a ton of change here.
Jaron Keawe Sagapolotelli, you mentioned him. five-star quarterback. Oregon fans will remember he went to Oregon for a blink. He had originally committed to Cal, went to Oregon, then got in the portal, went back to Cal, or landed at Cal officially. Now he will start. What are you hearing about him? Because you're not seeing much.
Right. Well, we saw him in the spring, and he does have a big-time arm. There's no doubt about it. He's left-handed. What we got to see a little bit in talking to him this week is that, you know, he's a pretty confident kid. I don't think they're going to ask him to throw the ball 40 times. They're going to try to win the game with balance and a running game, and their offensive line is going to have to protect him, and they're going to have to play defense. But he's still the quarterback, and that's the most important position on the team. And as Dustin Wilcox said this week, the most important position in sports. So they're handing that to a true freshman, just turned 18 recently. And this game is really important for Cal because Oregon State, even though Cal murdered them last year, Oregon State's going to be a much tougher out up in Corvallis. It seems like a more veteran team that they have. I know they have a few new guys, including their quarterback, but a lot of the guys in their lineup were there a year ago. So they're kind of getting settled in with Bray as the coach. And this game matters a lot to Cal because if they want to achieve these goals that they have, including perhaps winning 8 games or whatever, they got to probably win out in the 4 non-conference games. And that starts on Saturday night.
Jeff Arado with us, covers the Cal Bears like none other. You mentioned the new coaches in the room, Brian Harsin there, Nick Rolovich there is a consultant, more or less, an assistant on Wilcox's shoulder, or at least, implementing some of the offense. What has been the change that you've noticed with those new coaches around?
Well, when we talk to players on the offensive side, they're very excited about how smart these guys appear to be, how well prepared they're getting them, how creative and interesting, things that they're asking them to do. Now, we haven't seen these things, but you remember when Parson was at Boise State, and they pulled all the stops out at times, and they did some really cool, creative stuff. I don't know what the game plan will be for Cal Saturday. I think they want to control the ball. They want to run it. I mean, he wants to be a downhill running guy, but they've also got a quarterback who's got a rocket for an arm, so they're going to let him throw the ball some too. I think that the coaches, the offensive line coach came from New Mexico, where they had allowed just 5 sacks last year, which has led the nation. And he's come in, and they've got 10 guys in a rotation, including 6 transfers, and 3 of them are going to be starting on Saturday. So I apologize, 2 of them are going to be starting on Saturday. And so they think their line is bigger and better than it's been. It certainly is deeper. And that's a big point for Cal, because historically when Cal's had a good offensive line, they've been good. And when they haven't had a good offensive line, even when they've had good quarterbacks, if you're old enough, you remember Troy Taylor when he played there. He was a dynamite college quarterback. He played for the Jets for a little while, but he got the crap kicked out of him because their offensive line was usually not very good. When they're good, like when Mike Pulaski was the quarterback, they had good offensive linemen. A couple of those guys went to the NFL. So that's going to have to – that's a real focal point for them. And if their line is improved, then they got a chance.
Jeff Ferrato with us. He covers the Cal Bears. You can read his work, obviously. You can find Ferrato covering the Cal Bears. And you can find him, Jeff. Is it Cal Bears on SI? Is that right, where they find you?
Cal Bears on SI. Just the easiest thing to do is just Google that, yeah. Where also, if you go to the SI.com site, you can find us there on their college pages.
Help us understand. We had Trent Bray on earlier, and, they got blasted last year in that game. And I said, do you have guys walking around with a chip on their shoulder? He said, not necessarily. He goes, but we want to learn from that game. How different is this Cal team a year later in this opener?
I think it's different enough that last year's game has to mean more to Oregon State than it does to Cal, because some of these Cal guys weren't around for that game. And the ones who were around, had their way in that game. I think I listened to Mike Bray's news conference at the start of the week, and he really downplayed whether they have a chip on their shoulder about this, but that's what a coach is going to do. I can't believe those guys aren't fired up for this game. This is going to be a big game for Oregon State as well. And it's at home, and so they're expecting more. They've got a 1,000-yard running back coming back. They got their top receiver coming back. And Malik Murphy was a good player at Duke last year. So there's a lot of reasons for Oregon State fans to be fired up, and I'm sure the Beavers want to square things with Cal after what happened last year in Berkeley.
It was so lopsided that I said it wasn't even a game. Like, it was over before it started, and I can remember feeling gosh, did I waste a trip in coming here? I very infrequently felt that way. How important is it for Justin Wilcox, in your mind, to get a win in week one and to kind of settle the fan base down and the naysayers down?
Well, I think it's critical, but not just, for the fan base, but for his team. There's so many new guys, and, everybody's undefeated in August until you play your first game, and they're feeling good about themselves, and they're optimistic, and they've learned a lot, and they've made a lot of progress. Now they have to show that it pays off in a game. If they can come out of this with a road win against a legitimately decent team, that's a great first step. And, I think if they were to lose this game, the math is more difficult for them to get to the win total they want, first of all. But there's also then the question of, oh, gosh, are we as good as we thought we were, And I think they need it for their confidence. They need it to confirm all they've been doing in practice last spring and this summer. I think it's going to be a close game. I think Cal will win, but I think it will be a close game.
Jeff Ferrato with us. The identity of this team offensively, again, I asked Trent Bray, how do you scout? He says, you go back and you look at who these coaches were at their last stop and what tree they're from. Do you have a sense of what Cal's, you talked about the balance maybe. Is this going to be about keeping balance?
I think that's what all coaches would like to do, maybe with the exception of Sonny Dykes, who would like to throw 65 times a game. But I think, they've got three new running backs who've come in, and they've all had some success in their previous stop. And I think they're going to try to power the ball and run behind a really big offensive line and then let the quarterback make plays. Their slogan is smart and tough, and I think they want to be that. And, we'll see how complicated and sophisticated they can get with a true freshman quarterback. But he seems to be a smart kid. He doesn't look like a guy who's going to get in the bright lights and freeze up. He looks calm. He says the right things, but now he's got to have to go do it.
You have watched some young QBs play. And you've watched, them sort of, go through this progression of growth over the years. What are your memories of other guys that you saw, maybe a Jared Goff or an Aaron Rodgers or other quarterbacks that come to mind?
Well, Goff is the most obvious comparison because he's the only other true freshman who will have started his first college game, which is what Sagapolitelli is going to be doing. It was a totally different situation in most other ways, though. He came in, played a home game in his first game. He passed for oodles of yards in that game. I don't remember exactly what it was. And they scored 30 points against Northwestern, but they lost 44-30, and he threw two picks. He threw three, but he threw two pick sixes. Goff was a very talented thrower. But he didn't have a lot around him. That team went 1-11, and they didn't beat an FBS team all year. This team's better than that. This team's going to be pretty good defensively again because, with the exception of one year, all of Wilcox's teams have been pretty good defensively. They were real good last year. I mean, they got three guys from their secondary who were on NFL rosters who survived cut day, and, that doesn't happen very often. And so, they're pretty good up front. They've got guys on the defensive line and the linebacker who've got some experience. Kadu Olawabi, one of their inside linebackers, is real good. And so this is a different team than Jared Goff played for. And so that's a hard comparison. On the other hand, I don't know if we can expect that Jaron is going to be as good as Jared, because Jared became the number one pick, and he's been a really good NFL quarterback. And it's way, way too early to put any of that on Sagapola Tilly's shoulders. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think it's an interesting comparison. They haven't had anybody else who came in as a freshman, and Aaron Rodgers came in as a JC guy as a sophomore, and he was playing on a really good team. So that was a big advantage for him as well.
Nick Rolovich, senior offensive assistant. When I heard he was going to Berkeley, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be an interesting fit. How has that gone over? It's been very quiet.
It has been under the radar. He has kept a low profile. You know, we haven't really had any opportunity to talk much with him, and I haven't talked to him at all. I think he's a behind-the-scenes guy who gives Harsin his two cents, and they kind of cuddle together and trying to create stuff. I thought it was going to be a real bad fit culturally from knowing what he went through up at Wazoo to come into Berkeley, for crying out loud. So far, so good. And, you know, there were some initial kind of like, huh? You know, people kind of took a step back. But then it sort of died down. And he's, like I said, kept such a low profile that I don't think it's had much impact with the fan base. Fans are going to be happy if this team wins. And they're not going to be as concerned about some of those peripheral issues like that. Now, if they lose, you know, there are going to be people pointing fingers all over the place. But, you know, we'll see what happens with this team. They have a chance to be decent, I think. But I don't know if they can win eight games. I think they, you know, they can be competitive. Last year, they were 6-7, and they lost four games by a total of 9 points. So you can do the math and figure out they could have won 10 games without too much imagination. But you have to win those games, and they didn't.
Jeff, let me ask you, this game, the spread on this game has moved all over the place. It was Cal as a slight favorite. Now it's Oregon State as a slight favorite. The Beavers are at home. What do you do with this game? Who do you like? You have to make a pick this week?
I do, for our website. And I'm notoriously terrible at picking the outcome of Cal's games. I do better with the other teams in the conference that they're playing for. I'm leaning to picking Cal. The 2.5 points right now, that's sort of the home field advantage. So, you know, I think Vegas is viewing this as, you know, on a neutral side, this would be a total toss-up game. And I think Vegas, as good as they are, and they're really smart, I think they probably don't know what to make of Cal either, because they haven't seen him scrimmage either. And there's so many parts from so many places. And you know, it's not like they just got a new quarterback, but they got new almost everything, coaches, the whole schmear. So, you know, I think they're a mystery team going into Saturday night. And I think that's half the fun for this weekend, is just to see really what do they look like. I will pick Cal. I won't be surprised no matter how it goes. I'd be surprised if they got blown out. But because they really almost didn't get blown out by anybody last year. Win or lose, I won't be surprised. I'll pick them to win, but I'm not betting the farm on it.
Jeff Ferrato, I thank you. You're the best. Appreciate having you on.
Anytime.
All right. Find his work. Cal Bears on SI. Jeff Ferrato, good follow on Twitter as well. It'll be a true freshman. I didn't ask Trent Bray, the Oregon State coach, you know, are you going to throw the kitchen sink at the freshman? Because what is he going to say? He's not going to give me the game plan. But I think he's kind of going to throw the kitchen sink at the freshman. And I think Cal, you know, is probably expecting that. I do find it interesting that the beat reporters who covered Cal football, this is not exactly like a beat where you've got 100 people covering this team. You know, Justin Wilcox knows the first names of all these people who are covering his team. But you have Cal football limiting access between Brian Harsin, Nick Rolovich, and now Justin Wilcox. Nobody's seen Cal. Nobody's seen him practice. Nobody's seen him scrimmage. We're going to see him play on Saturday night at Reser Stadium. Leave it here. Get the bald-faced truth.